Written on the board this morning, I will hold up your hands, brother. And it could just as easily say, I will hold up your hands, brother and sister. I'd like to begin with a familiar passage of Scripture in the 17th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 8. I want us to keep in mind as we read this instance that the children of Israel were 2 months out of Egypt on their journey to Canaan land. This is before this instance here in the 17th chapter that we will read took place before Moses received the law on the mountain. And so they were fresh out of Egypt, 2 months. They were still developing as a people together. They were still trying to learn to self-rule. They were still in a weakened condition from slavery. So they had not had any battles, all right? Because remember, the Lord took care of the Egyptians with the Red Sea. So they had not yet fought anybody. So just keep that in mind as we read. In the 17th chapter of Exodus, beginning verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Isn't that a beautiful story? As long as Moses had his hands up in the air, Israel prevailed. But as is natural, when you hold your hands up in the air for very long, they start getting tired, don't they? And when Moses began to, you just hold them there long enough, and they'll start getting tired. And you'll find that here Aaron and Hur came along, and they helped Moses hold his hands up in the air so that they might win the victory. Now, the Amalekites were grandsons of Israel. All right? These were descendants of Abraham. Do you recognize that when you look at that and you follow out the lineage of Abraham, that there are still people warring today that in essence you can say you're brothers? But aren't we all? Because we all come from Adam and Eve. We live in a world that is divided by tribe and race many times. But that was not God's intention. And it is a sad state of affairs when you find people that are quarreling with one another because of a difference of race, socioeconomic status, color of skin, background, any of those things. All of that is displeasing to God. We are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, but this was family, in essence, that was attacking the Israelites. This was family. They were one of the most powerful people. The Amalekites at this time were one of the most powerful tribes in the area. They were pagans. They were a lot of witchcraft. If you study the Amalekites, they were involved with a lot of witchcraft as well. So they were very opposed historically to God and to truth. Very opposed. Took a very hard stand against the Israelites through history. This is actually the tribe that of people that God had told King Saul when he went out to battle. If you'll remember, he said, I want you to destroy everything. Don't leave any of the animals. I want you to destroy everything. And when the prophet came along, he said, what is this I hear the bleating of the sheep? You remember the story? That was the Amalekites. God wanted them destroyed at that time, the Old Testament, because they were pagans contrary to all that was right and true. So it was a surprise attack on the Israelites. They were leaving Egypt, they were making a journey, and they were attacked. And we find a little bit more information about this in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. It says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt." God was reminding the people, I want you to remember what they did to you. He said, "How he met thee by the way, and he smote the hindmost parts of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee. Thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not." So I want us to understand, this gives us information that the Amalekites, when they attacked the Israelites, they did not come in a straight-on battle. Like, they did not go against their warriors. They came in to those that were in the back end of the camp. The women and the children, those that were feeble, they went to possibly get where the baggage was. We're going to get the loot. We're going to try to attack you at your weakest point. Doesn't that sound like the enemy today? The enemy normally does not work on us at our strongest point. But all of us have a hindmost part. We all have areas in which we are weak. We all have areas that we're not quite as strong, and maybe we're working on it with the Lord, but we're still weak in that area. That is where the enemy will attack. And that is what the Amalekites did in this place. And they attacked them at a time that the children of Israel, they were faint and they were weary. Are there any of us here this morning could say we're never weary? We've just got it all. I'm always on top of the spiritual mountain, and I can fight anybody, anytime, anything the enemy throws against me. There are times that all of us go through in life when we get weary. There are times that we get tired. There are times that we have needs in our life, and that is when the Amalekites attacked Israel. Keeping in mind, this was the first enemy they had ever faced since they left Egypt. I think that's interesting. Well, possibly without provocation, there are some historians speculate that the Amalekites didn't want the Israelites to pasture their sheep on their land. So they wanted to attack them and drive them out. Others speculate they were just there for the loot. But regardless of the purpose, they were not there with honorable intentions. Well, it goes on to say that when Moses told Joshua, go out and fight, and he said, I'll stand on the top of the hill. And when Moses had his hands lifted up with the rod of God in it, they won. They were winning the battle. They were favored in the battle. Do you know that hands being held up is a traditional mode of worship in supplication to God? It has largely... Now, we believe in truth, don't we? It has largely been lost in the United States. Largely. But in other countries, many other countries in which we go and we worship with, many of them, when they pray, they lift their hands up in supplication to God. Do you know that there's a little bit more than just tradition in that? The point was, when you expect to receive something, what do? You put your hand out, don't you? That's what it was when the beggar was laying at the temple and Peter and John came by. He put out his hands expecting to receive something. In other words, it was in supplication. Can you give me something? So as long as Moses' hands were up in supplication to God and they were raised, they won the battle. But do you remember what the scripture in 1 Timothy 2:8 says? It's right where it talks about women dressing modestly. This is what it says about the men. I will, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. How? Remember what it says? Lifting up holy hands to the Lord without wrath and doubting. I will. Now, some would say, well, that's just figurative and that's a time for another Bible study. But the point being is that people would lift up their hands in supplication, and that was God's will in the Old Testament, and it really was repeated in the New Testament. Sometimes in our prayers at home, we will lift up our hands. There are things we can learn from other places. The center of Christianity is not the United States. It's found in Jesus Christ. So we can learn from our brothers and sisters in other countries. So it is in lifting up our hands in supplication. I have found times in before God in seeking Him that when you are seriously, earnestly seeking the blessings of God, there was nothing but in a physical sense as you opened up your heart was lifting up your hand, evoking and calling on the blessings of God to come down. That's where Moses was. Folks, we need the blessings of God in our lives today, don't we? There are places that the enemy is attacking. There are things that the enemy is doing in families, in homes, in lives, in our society. We need the blessings of God. Well, Moses was there, and as long as he was strong, take note, as long as he had the strength to keep his hands up, they were winning. But before long, he began to get weak. Do you know when we stop our supplication before God, we're going to get in trouble? And I am speaking spiritually here. But when we begin to lower our hands, and I'm not seeking the Lord like I once was, the enemy is going to start winning. We need to stay in a condition of earnestly seeking God and asking for His blessings. Well, we find then in verse 12 that we read, it says Moses' hands were heavy. He got tired. Can we blame Moses for that? Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. Have you ever known someone that you had spiritual confidence in and they got tired? And it seemed like that they just didn't have the spiritual victory that they used to. Anybody have any stones to throw this morning? Lord, help us. Moses got tired. And we're not Moses this morning, but do you know that all of us have times that we get tired? And he had a brother by the name of Aaron. I don't know how this took place, but first of all, Moses was tired, and I'm sure he was tired spiritually, emotionally, and physically, just all the way around. He was probably just exhausted. He was worn out. But while Moses was weary, his weariness affected the outcome of the battle. Do you know this morning that when you get tired and the enemy starts taking advantage in your life, I know the common saying is you're not an island. You are not an island this morning. When you get weary and the tide turns against you, you are going to affect your family. It's going to affect the congregation. It's going to affect our society. None of us live and die unto ourselves this morning. There are many people that are very independent. We live in an independent country. People are very independent. Do you know that to an extent that's good and there are other areas it'll get us in trouble? We need one another this morning. We need each other. And spiritually, we need one another. We say, well, God and I have our own thing going. I had a man tell me that one time. Well, just in other words, stay out of it. Stay out of it. God and I have our own thing going. Do you know I have observed spiritual independence over the years, and I have yet to see it bring spiritual power and victory. I'll go it alone. Won't put confidence in anybody else. Won't fellowship with anybody else. God and I have our own thing going, and I'm probably the only one right anyway, and I'll just do it by myself. I have yet to see the greatest blessings of God on people with that kind of attitude. Because God created mankind not only to be in fellowship with Him, but to be in fellowship with one another. We need one another. Each one of you this morning are needed in the body of Christ. And if you begin to feel like nobody really cares about me, that is a lie of the enemy. You may say, well, you're not talking to me. Yes, I'm talking to you this morning. If you feel like you are not important and nobody really cares whether you're here or not, nobody really cares about what's going on in your life, you're going through a tough spot, nobody really cares, I want you to know that you have some brothers and sisters in the Lord this morning that we care. And you know what? You need us. And I need you. We need one another. If we begin to say, if Moses just said, well, I can do it myself, and as his arms got more weary, and his brother came and said, Moses, let me help hold your hand up. Moses said, no, I've got it. Aaron says, Moses, I'll help you. I can do it. And the lower his arms got, the enemy was taking greater advantage. Thankfully, Moses didn't do that. Do you know sometimes we have to humble ourselves to say, hey, Aaron, can you come help me? I'm pretty weary right now. There have been times in many people's lives that they got in conditions that they almost could not pray. And it was a brother or a sister that came and said, I will hold up your hands, brother. You can't pray right now, I'll pray with you. If you can't pray and you're so tired and distraught, you go ahead and cry your heart out to the Lord, but I'm going to be here holding up your hands. And I want you to know something, I'm not going anywhere until you get the victory. Oh, for more brothers and sisters in the Lord like that. Moses, sometimes we need to ask for help. The Scripture says we have not because we what? We ask not. There is a... Ethan has a professor right now. I disagree with his teaching philosophy, but it's not a parent's job. They're grown up enough to deal with it. But their philosophy is don't ask for help. Their philosophy is don't ask your peers. Don't have study groups. We don't want you working on homework together. That's one of the greatest teaching tools that's out there, is working together. Iron sharpening iron. Do you know this morning, spiritually, we don't want to go down that road. You all just do it in your homes or your families and everybody. No, we need to get together and encourage one another. And if you have a problem, be willing to say, hey, brother, I'm getting tired and I need some help here. That does not de-spiritualize us to ask for help this morning. Because sometimes it's pride that causes people. Some people want to act like they know everything. I can handle anything. The reality is none of us can handle everything by ourselves. God didn't create us that way. He created us to be workers together. Which means we need to humble ourselves and be willing to say, I need some help here. And then there need to be those that look over. Aaron was a brother and he probably saw Moses getting tired. What a blessing! Unsolicited to have his brother come and say, hey, Moses, can I help you? And Moses says, oh, thank you so much. And he could just relax and Aaron would hold his hand up. But there was another person there named Hur that came and he took his other side. Some of you may remember many years ago I couldn't walk very well. And some of you may have been those walking by my side holding me up when my legs were going out. I've got you, brother. My leg would go out, and there were many times I ended up on the floor. But you know what? When someone was walking beside me, they'd get hold of me and catch me. Do you know this morning that all of us need to be held up sometimes? So part of the message this morning is that if you are going through a difficult time and you are struggling, I want you to know that you are part of a family. It doesn't matter how long, you know, it doesn't matter how long we've known one another. If you get in a problem, we want to be there to be by your side. There are brothers and sisters in the Lord that would welcome us. But sometimes we have not because we ask not. And sometimes people get offended and say, no one came and helped me. You know what the Scripture says? If any man is sick or anybody is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and pray for them. Did you notice where the responsibility was? It was on the sick person. Well, the pastor didn't come to pray for me. Did you call him? Pastor didn't call and check up on me. Pastor probably found out Wednesday night you were going through a tough time. He didn't even know it. Well, and it's not just the pastor, but the point being here is God put the responsibility. If you have a need, He said, you call for the elders of the church. Don't be offended and say, well, no one called me. Well, did you call them and say, hey, can you help me? Do you know the Lord wants us to be willing to do that? That's why He gave us the family of God. That's why the body of Christ, part of the reason the body of Christ is there. And when Moses suffered in his weakness, all of the Israelites suffered, didn't they? They all begin to suffer from it. There should be no division in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the member should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Do you know when you are suffering, we really all are affected this morning. The reality is that we all get tired. And Aaron and Hur stayed up Moses' hands in that place. We're in this together this morning. We're in this together. And if the enemy is starting to win the battle, should we give up on one another? If you look on my life and you see that I don't have the victory I should, are you going to give up on me? Or are you say, hey, Brother Michael, don't give up. What can we do? What can we do? If I see you struggling, do we give up on you? No. We want to make it to heaven. We need one another. I'll hold your hands up, brother, sister. Are you willing? Are you willing to look around and see those that are struggling this morning and offer your services? But what sometimes we say is, I don't know what to do. How can I help? I don't know that there's anything I can do. Do you know it's just many times it's your love and it's your presence and it's your care to know that someone is interested. I have someone that really is interested in me. Maybe you don't understand everything about their problem, or maybe you're the one having the difficulty and you may feel like people just don't get it. We have things in our society people are misunderstanding on multiple sides of issues. But where's the answer found? This is the answer. Hey, if you're struggling and I don't understand it, brother, I love you and I'm going to do what I can to help. I remember years ago telling the congregation when we were in Shawnee, the greatest blessing you can be to someone is not to be part of the problem. You ever thought about that? Husbands, wives, you know, sometimes in your marriages, you need to hold each other's hands up. Don't be part of the problem. Someone gets tired and their hands are going down. Have you ever seen a child just go and hang on and just swing on someone's hand? They put it out there and they just swing on it. Unfortunately, I've seen times that someone's hands were getting really weak and someone came along and just held on and just put their weight on it. It destroys people, folks. I don't want to be the cause of destroying someone. If someone is weak, the Scripture says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in what? A fault. We're not even just talking about financial and physical problems now. We're talking about spiritual problems. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the weak. That's our call this morning. Brother, I'll hold up your hands. If you're weak, let me help bear you up. If you see someone faltering spiritually, don't get on the gossip train. Get in the position to put a stone under them. Be in a place to say, I can see, I know you're going through something and maybe I don't understand and maybe they don't want to unload on you, but they can know that you love them and you care about them. And I want you to know that I still accept you and I care about you and we need you. Do you know what a blessing that is? Lord, help us to be willing to reach out. when we're in trouble. But Lord, help us on the other hand to be able to reach out to others. The unfortunate reality is this, that sometimes you might reach out to someone and they accept your offer of love and care and help. And they say, thank you, I can relax some because you're holding my hand up. And you can go to someone else and say, can I be a help here? And they say, no, I don't want your help. And you watch them slowly, their hands go down until they die and walk away. And then you look at them and say, you helped them, but you didn't help them over here. You are being respectful or personal, like, you know what? The offer was there. You didn't want help. Don't accuse Aaron and Hur of just helping Moses. They would have been there to help anybody else that was in trouble. But that's how the enemy works. Do you see that? If you're struggling and you see someone else getting help and you're not, the devil would like to make you think it's the ministers or it's the people of God, it's the congregation. They just helped this person and not that one. Did you open up and say, would you be here for us? Would you help us? Would you pray with us? Would you walk with us through this battle? We can only be helped in as much as we're willing to open up ourselves to the help of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? I'll hold your hands up, brother. I'll hold them up if you're weak. Moses was a leader, but he needed help. Jesus, you remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray? Did he go by himself? You remember he asked for a few of the disciples, would you come with me? Jesus had to go to the cross alone, but Jesus himself needed the moral and emotional support of other people. Now, if Christ needed that, how much more do we need that this morning? And his disciples went to sleep, and that was a little discouraging to Christ, wasn't it? Could have you not stayed awake with me for just 1 hour? Go ahead and sleep. I'll have to take this one by myself. You know, I have found in times, there are times that you might be disappointed in people, and they will come. They will come. I found the Lord has been faithful in those times, that He did not leave and He did not forsake. But how much better it is to find that strength in the Lord, but to have our brothers and sisters right with us, carrying our burden, helping in time of trouble and distress. Folks, there is danger in going it alone. All right? We're vulnerable. This is why fellowship is really important. It's why we need to fellowship and why we need to have kinship in the Lord. When there's things going on and activities, do you know sometimes we don't feel like doing everything? And I know sometimes we can't. I don't feel like in the flesh going to every funeral and wedding that comes along. Does anybody? But do you know what it does when you do? It says, you know what? You may not even know I'm here, but I am. And I am a part, and I'm interested, and I care, and I'm a part. When you're brothers and sisters and there's little get-togethers, I want to encourage people to be a part. Because what happens when you're not a part is you start seeing it as them. They're having a get-together. They're doing this. But no, they're not. We are. Do you get the difference? That's not them. It's we. That's why I've told many young people, they hear things about, you know, going to Monarch National Meeting and say, well, this and that. And they're just like, wait, listen, here's some counsel and advice if you've never been to Monarch. Don't wait for an invitation. If you hear something's going on, just go. Because no one's invited. Everyone's invited. It's just things have a way of, oh, the young people are going to do this. Someone says, well, I wasn't invited. No one was invited. Someone just said, oh, I'm going. People say, oh, I'm going too. In other words, be a part. Don't go home with your feelings hurt. No one asked me to do it. No, what are we doing? I didn't hear about that. What are we doing today? You understand that it's being a part. It's the unity. It's the oneness. And we can alleviate a lot of hurt feelings and areas that the enemy would like to work. Folks, we are in this together. We're in this together, and I want us to go to heaven together. So let's not refuse help. There are many times, we won't read the scriptures, all of them, but there's a lot of them, where Paul talked about being refreshed by the coming of Onesiphorus, or I was refreshed by the coming of this one. He mentioned one place in 2 Timothy when he talked about Onesiphorus coming to visit him. He said, he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Now I know there's a lot of ways you can think about that, but I look at it this way. He was in a condition that some people didn't want to be seen with a prisoner. But he had a brother in the Lord that said, I'm not ashamed to be for people to know I'm associated with you. I'm one of you. And he said, I was refreshed. It is refreshing when brothers and sisters come together and say, we're just there. When people have financial difficulty and you have the ability to help, I'll help. Hold your hands up, brother. In a physical need, have a physical battle, and you're weary and tired. If I can help most by coming, I'll camp out. If I can help most by staying away and giving you your privacy and praying at home, I'll stay at home and pray. But whatever we can do for one another, you see? Whatever we can do, we want you to know we are there to serve one another, to hold each other's hands up however we can. And then when it comes to the spiritual, and I know I touched on that, but when it comes to the spiritual needs that there are, I want to encourage all of us this morning to don't be the one to pick up a stone if you see your brother fall by the wayside. They're not living like they ought to live. So you go to camp meeting and someone catches them in the back corner and says, you're not looking or doing what you ought to do. And you kind of wonder, what vested interest do you have in my life when you've never spoken to me? And the only time you spoke to me was to tell me my cuffs were folded up, or my sleeves weren't down quite like you thought they ought to be, or I'm wearing... I'm just glad you're there. You see the difference? But when someone has a vested interest and you know they care, it can open up the door to ministering to the depth of the soul, not to the outside, but to what's inside, that there's a soul. Why are they there? They may have come just to see friends. I'm glad they're there, that maybe the Lord can get some gospel to them. You see, that's what this is about. I want to hold your hands, brother. I want to be there. I want you to know we care. And I want you to know that we love you. Let's be emissaries of love this morning. Let's go back out this week, and when the Lord puts someone on your heart, make that offer. Sometimes it's a text. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's just let someone know I'm praying for you, and sometimes it's more. But I want to share something with you. It is emotionally draining to help people. When Moses' hands were held up, they got tired, didn't they? Do you think Aaron and Hur got tired? They were there holding his hands up. Now they had to hold two hands up too. And they got tired too. It is emotionally wearing to help someone that needs help. So what do a lot of people do? I'll go to the other side of the road. I'm not going to give you time. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be there to support you. I don't want to get involved. Because if you have problems, that's going to make me have problems. I would that there be more people this morning that would be willing to get their hands dirty for Christ. Are you willing to have some struggles yourself and get weary? When you help someone that's really needy, it's a drain. Day after day, week after week, and you're holding their hands up, and then you get to the place that's, Lord, how long? I need someone to hold my hands up so I can hold their hands up. And the enemy would like us to come along and not even help to start with. How much time do you have for your brothers and sisters this week? Do you have time to reach out? Do you have time to love? Do you have time to care? I will be done shortly. Can you all give me a few more minutes? I remember a few years ago when Devin had his drowning accident, my oldest son. We were in Tulsa Hospital not knowing whether he was going to live or die. We were not alone. The phone calls that saints came into that hospital, I'm still touched by it. We didn't know he was going to live or die. And then when we knew he was going to live, we didn't know how much brain damage. It was like, is he going to live? Brain damage? Where are things going to be at? That's devastating to a parent. There were people that came to that hospital. They didn't have any ability to change circumstances, but they came because they wanted to be there to hold up our hands. When we couldn't pray, when we didn't know how, when we were tired. I remember Brother Lowe, and I'll just say he's one of my black brothers from Tulsa. He came into that hospital and brought such comfort to us. And I look at our world that is so divided, and I think they're missing it. Brother Lowe came in and he held my hands up. He had lost his son one time. He lost his son to violent offense, and he knew what it was to have your son in the hospital, not knowing whether it would be life or death. And just his presence, it wasn't necessarily the words he spoke. I don't even remember what he said, but I remember he was there. I remember a couple walking in the hospital that don't come to service with us. I remember they walked down the hall with me and they were kind of chagrined. And they said, we didn't know whether we should even be here or not. And I said, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being here. That meant a lot to me. I haven't forgotten it. They just didn't know how to reach out. But just their presence. Recently, there was a family that was going through a difficult time, and my wife would have liked to have taken them a meal, but they live too far away. So she signed up with Walmart and had Walmart deliver groceries to their home. Do you know that meant something to that family? It wasn't the food. I mean, what's a meal or two? Really? It was just that someone was saying, I love you, and I'm sorry you're going through a tough time. This morning, can we do more? Can we sacrifice a little bit more this morning? Are we willing to get tired, or are we saying, I've got so many problems of my own, I'm shutting the door to my brothers and sisters, not interested. And then we go it alone, and we get in trouble, and we're tired, and we fall by the wayside. We need one another this morning. Reaching out hurts, but are you willing to take a risk this morning to be there for your brothers and sisters? In closing, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord this morning. We're part of a family. And it's sad to see families divided. It's sad to see our society divided. But that's not God's intention. We are part of a family this morning. Fellow citizens, to love one another, to help one another, to bear with one another, to forgive one another. When you're in trouble, I'll hold your hands up, brother. I'll hold your hands up, sister. When I'm in trouble, I've been a recipient many times of someone coming along and holding my hands up when I was so tired. The Lord is asking us to continue on this morning. It's wonderful to be part of the family of God. It's a wonderful thing. I know sometimes people say things out of order, and there might be someone that hurts you, but I will say this. To me, to my understanding and what I have observed through the years, that is not the identity of the family of God. Yes, there are individuals, but the family of God they're a loving people. They're a caring people. They're a forgiving people. And I would that all of us here this morning can continue on holding up the hands of our brothers and sisters, because when we do, we will see the enemy defeated. Thank you all for your attention this morning. God bless you. Let's go and let this word dwell in our hearts, that we can reach out and be that helping hand to those around us. Amen.